Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 3 and 4 and 7. Ezekiel 14, 3, 4, and 7. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up idols in his hearts, and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Verse 7, For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and put his stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Once again, good morning. Glad that you are here with us as we have assembled to worship God in spirit and in truth. I do want to invite you back tonight at 5:30. Brother Bobby Hale will be here. Unless plans have changed, he will be here to give us an update on his recent trip to Jamaica. It's always good when we can hear the fruits of our labors as we have helped to financially support him. So I hope you can be back tonight at 5:30 for that. A couple of other announcements before I get into the sermon. First and foremost, I read this on a bulletin yesterday, maybe it was Friday, I don't know. And I thought I would share it with you, and it posed a simple question. And it said, are you as prepared for eternity as you are for your summer vacation? Are you as prepared for your eternity as you are your summer vacation? And I'll couple that by saying, don't forget God when you go on vacation. That's not an excuse to stop being a Christian. In fact, you should be more a Christian because you never know who out there is watching. Just some things to think about that have nothing to do with the lesson. Oh, and I also wanted to say, if Brother Brad wanted to change the preposition, I'd just let him preach the sermon if he wanted to. I mean, I would have just given you my notes, but I appreciate you always letting them know. Letting me know, make sure I brought the right sermon. This morning, we're all going to talk about idols in the heart. And our scripture text is taken from one of the prophets of the Old Testament, Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 7, we read about how those people that Ezekiel was addressing, they had put idols in their hearts. And they had put stumbling blocks in front of them. And so the Lord says, I'm going to answer them according to how many idols they have placed in their hearts. These people of God had committed a great danger, a great evil with these idols. Just as they had worshipped an idol, they may have established many different kinds of idols in the hearts. And all these idols combined together to separate them from God. Now, one does not need to be bowed down before an image to have an idol in his or in her heart. And we understand when we read about the heart in the Bible that we're not talking about the organ that's in our bodies that is literally pumping blood right now, making sure that we're still alive. But in the Bible, when we read about heart, we read about mind. When the wise man wrote in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, he said, Keep thy heart with all diligence. He's talking about your mind. He's not talking about that internal organ. In Proverbs 23 and 7, as a man thinketh, so is he. When he's talking about putting good things in your heart. And with the heart, Paul says in Romans 10:10, man believes with the heart. Well, our physical heart can't believe, but our minds can. Brethren, what is an idol? An idol simply is an image or a representation of a deity, lowercase d, which is made and used as an object of worship. It is a carved statue. It is a produced statue. It is a drawn picture of God with a lowercase g that people worship. An idol may be an object of passion. Brethren, an idol is anything that we put above God in worth. God is to be first and foremost in our lives. Anything we put above God becomes an idol to us. And brethren, if we're not careful, anything can become an idol. We don't need to put anything above God. So for the time remaining in our lesson this morning, I want us to look at a couple of different things that could become an idol for someone. So first off, for many. possessions become an idol. Possessions, the things that they have. We need to understand that we do not have to have a lot of possessions to make them an idol. Many people who do not have a whole lot, they make it their goal to go out and acquire more. And that's all they think about when they wake up. Boy, I hope I can go out and get more today. Maybe it's real estate. Maybe it's cars. Maybe it's houses. Maybe it's, I don't care. They think, well, what can I do to get more of this? What can I do to get more of this? That's all they think about from morning till night. Owning a little, owning a lot, that's not the key. It's the thought towards the possessions that are your key. For instance, let's go to the New Testament, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Jesus has had a man ask him about dividing the inheritance. He says, Master, make my brother divide the inheritance with me. Jesus said, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. A man has called Jesus, trying to do a legal proceeding, saying, I want my brother to divide my father's inheritance with me. And Jesus said, that's not my place. I'm not a divider. I'm not a judge and things like this. He said, take heed. Life is not measured by what we possess. Neither is our faithfulness to the Lord. You're not more faithful to the Lord than I am, or vice versa, because one of us has more possessions than the other. That's just not how it works. But flip back a book to Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Well, starting in verse 17, Mark 10, starting in verse 17, we have the story of the rich young ruler. Mark 10, 17, and when, that's Jesus, when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running, kneeled to him and asked, good master, what thing must I do to have eternal life, that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but that one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And notice what this man answers. He says, Master, I've done these all from my youth. From my youth up, I've kept these commandments. And look at the compassion of Jesus. Jesus beholding him, Mark says that he did what? He loved him. And he said, yes, you've kept these commandments from your youth, but one thing thou lackest. He says, go thy way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Jesus is not being harsh. In fact, the opposite. Jesus loves him. And notice verse 23. And the rich young ruler was sad at that saying. Why? He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus said, if you want to inherit eternal life, get rid of the possessions in your life. Not because it's bad to have things, but for this man it was. Because that became all he had thought about. And he went away sorrowful. Why? Not because Jesus told him to do something that was impossible. In fact, it would have been physically very easy to sell what he had and give it to the poor. But emotionally, it was difficult. Emotionally, it was difficult. Possessions can keep us out of heaven. We may do excellent in many areas, and yet if we have the idol of possession in our heart, then we will miss heaven. We don't need to miss heaven. So for many, wealth becomes an idol. But another thing, for many people, their popularity becomes an idol. Their popularity, their social standing in life, how they're thought of by others becomes an idol. Brethren, many have sold their souls to the idea of popularity. Many parents sell their children's souls for popularity. Popularity, however, comes at too great of a price. Flip with me now to the book of John, John chapter 12, and I'm going to warn you as we're turning there together, these are two of arguably the saddest verses recorded for us in Scripture. John chapter 12, 42 and 43. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Period. In the story, right? No. But because of the Pharisees, They did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men better, more. They loved it more than the praise of God. You have these very important chief rulers who love their popularity. Now, yes, I know it can be argued that losing your place in the synagogue meant a decrease in your social standing and life. But they wouldn't confess him. Why? Because they feared the Pharisees. Why? Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I'd rather have the praise of God, if we're just being quite honest. They want the popularity, and yet they wanted to believe in God, but they couldn't confess that they believed in God because they wanted to be popular. They wanted to keep that social standing they had in life. Flip over a few chapters to John chapter 16. John 16 in the first four verses. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he is doing God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor have they known me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Jesus says, "I'm not trying to offend you. But people are going to put you out of the synagogue. You're going to lose that standing, that status in life." And notice the end of verse 2. He says, there are going to be people who think that by killing you, they're doing God a service. Didn't Saul of Tarsus think when he was killing Christians, he was doing God a service? Didn't those that persecuted the Christians in the latter part of the first century onward, didn't they think they were doing God a service? Some of them did. Some of them thought that they were doing what God wanted them to. Rather than serving God can cause us to be unpopular. But note that that's unpopular with the world. I don't know about you, I don't really care about what the world thinks, feels. I don't care about their ideas. I care about what God has said, because we should never be ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek." So if we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God, then why should we really care about what somebody thinks about us? Brethren, for many people, their popularity, it becomes an idol. Another idol, though, for many, their position becomes an idol. Their position. Some think that position is more important than God. Let's look in Galatians chapter 2 for this one. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Galatians 2, 11 through 13, we're going to learn that even an apostle could be temporarily blindsided by this. Galatians 2 and 11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Hold on, let's pause there for a minute. Who's the I? That I is Paul, an apostle. And so Paul says, when Peter, an apostle, when he came to Antioch, which were Christians, were first called Christians, Acts 11, 26, when he came to Antioch, I was stood into the face. Why? He was to be blamed. Verse 12. "For before that, certain came from James." James, another apostle. Also an elder there at the church at Jerusalem. "And he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing they which were of the circumcision." That's the Jews. "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with a dissimulation." Brethren, position in life can become an idol. It can even happen to an apostle. What was Peter's problem? When Peter was eating, or when there were no Jews around, Peter was fine associating with Gentiles. But when Jews came from James, when they left Jerusalem and came to see Peter, Peter wouldn't have anything at all to do with the Gentiles. And this was so confusing that Barnabas, who is called the Great Encourager, who went with Paul on his missionary journeys until he separated and he took John Mark and Paul took up Silas, Barnabas was even confused. Barnabas stumbled because of what Peter had done. Brethren, position can become a problem. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, here Paul says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." Would have been really beneficial if Peter had read those words, would it not have been? But Peter didn't. And because of that, Barnabas had a problem with it. Brethren, it can happen to an apostle, it can happen to us. Go back to what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 12, verse 42, where these Jewish leaders, they love their position and they love their popularity more than they love the truth. And brethren, I'm ashamed to think that there may be a large number in the church today. There may be a large number of people in the world today who like their position in life just a little too much in order to be completely obedient to God. Will you be ridiculed because you're a Christian? You might. Will people not like you because you're a Christian? You better bank on it. But is it worth it? Yes, 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffers a Christian, he'll be rewarded in the life to come. Just because you may have a good position, don't let that become an idol. Does that mean you can't have a good position? But if you let it become an idol, that's your problem. What's another idol? For many people, recreation becomes an idol. Recreation. This seems to be the quote-unquote new religion of the day. They think, well, let me serve God first, and then, or let me serve me first, and then God will come second. And that's the attitude of many. If I can fit God in my busy schedule while I'm out having fun on the weekends, then hey, it's a good weekend, is what they say. Or let's make it a party. Let's just have fun. You know how I know this to be true? I passed one, if not two, people heading out camping this morning on their church. Now, they may have been coming home from camping. I hope that they stopped the worship on the way there, but if they didn't, then that means their recreation became an idol to them, and they put it before God. Let's go back to the Old Testament now in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, and we'll look at the first six verses, and we're going to see a problem that the nation of Israel had. Well, one of the many problems that the nation of Israel had. Exodus 32 and verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, he's up there receiving the Ten Commandments. He's up there with God and Joshua. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, the high priest, the older brother of Moses. And they said to him, up, get up, Aaron, make us some gods, which shall go before us. As is for this Moses, the man that brought us out of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. We don't even want to think, because they think maybe Moses has died. Maybe Moses has a picture. Aaron, make us gods. And Aaron said, then break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, your wives of your sons and your daughters, and bring the gold to me. And the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears. They brought them to Aaron. He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink. And then they rose up to play. These people have chosen recreation over God, have they not? Notice that last phrase of verse 6, they rose up to play. It's a party. Many people care about fun and games more than they care about the Lord. Others try to bring fun and games into the church. Now, am I all for having a good time? Yes, as long as it doesn't violate the will of God and I don't come to worship to be entertained. I may go to a concert. I may go to a basketball game. But I don't come to church to be entertained. I come to worship God. Brethren, don't be like the nation of Israel. When the leader was out of the picture, they rose up to play. What about a New Testament example back in the book of Luke? Luke chapter 15 and verse 13. As we look at the story of the prodigal son, we see that he cared about playing. Luke 15, 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance on riotous living. The prodigal son said, give me, Father, me. Give me my inheritance. I know I have an older brother, and he gets 2/3, and I get 1/3 of it, but Father, I want you to give me that now. So he goes out to a foreign country, and he wastes his substance, wastes his money, wastes everything he received as an inheritance on riotous living. you can just start imagining. The older brother tries to imagine some of the things that his younger brother may have done towards the end of the chapter. Brethren, this will happen to many where recreation becomes an idol to them. When they're having fun, when they're putting recreation before God. What's another idol, though? Brethren, for many, their career becomes an idol to them. Their career becomes an idol. Yes, our careers are very important. It's a way that God has blessed us with certain abilities to go out and earn a living. I'm not saying that's wrong at all. In fact, the Bible says the man that does not provide for his house, he's worse than an infidel. But there is something about going beyond that. If you're with me in Luke 15, go back to verse 4, go back to chapter 14 and verse 16. Luke 14 and 16. Then he said unto him, we'll go back to 15. When one of them there sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs and go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to go prove them. Pray thee excuse. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. People are putting their business in front of this invitation. Brethren, we do not need to put our careers in front of God. What does Jesus say? Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25 through the end of chapter, verse 34. He's talking about worrying and why we shouldn't worry. But what does he say, verse 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. What's that? We've just been talking about. All these things shall be added unto you, verse 34, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Brethren, the kingdom must be first in our lives. To put our careers above the kingdom is to cause our careers to become an idol. I know people, and some of these people I look up to, that have to travel for work. And some of these people, the first thing they do is they figure out where they can worship God when they're at this new place they're going to be for a week or two. That's not putting their career in front of God. That's putting God first in their career. Don't let your career become an idol. What's another one? We've got 2 more. For many, fitness can become an idol. Fitness. I know you're looking at me weird. You know, physical fitness is a God-approved attribute. But there is something even more important. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. What is Paul telling Timothy? Refuse these profane wives' tables, these tall, tall tales. Instead, exercise thyself unto godliness. Now, what does verse 8 say? Does verse 8 say, for bodily exercise is of no profit? No. He said we need to take care of our bodies, for bodily exercise profiteth little in comparison to exercising yourself unto godliness. Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. He's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Brethren, just as we cannot live by bread alone, we can't live by exercise alone. There is something that we need more. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You may have met people that are workout nuts, and I say that lovingly, but they get up super early in the morning and they work out for 4 or 5 hours, and then they go home, and before they go home, they go back to the gym, and before you know it, they don't have any time for God because they spent the whole day working out. Brethren, for many, fitness can become an idol. And our last one, for many, desires can become an idol. Man never ceases to desire things that he looks at. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. This is the works of the flesh list that Paul gives us. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Now the works of flesh are manifest. Which are these? And notice, these are all things that you desire. Galatians 5, not you, specifically, but human desire. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And such like lets me know that Paul knows that's not an exhaustive list. That's not everything that somebody might desire that's sinful, but that's a good starting place. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do these things shall what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. These fleshly desires become idols to many. Let's flip one more time to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul says, "For that time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears." He says, people, there's going to come a time when people are going to bring these desires upon themselves. And verse 10, we read about a man whose name is Demas. We first encountered him earlier in the Gospel, or in the New Testament. The Bible says, "For Demas has forsaken me." Why? Paul says he loved the present world. Demas loved the desires of the world, and he let that become an idol to him. And Demas was a running buddy of Paul. And you think of somebody who's right there with Paul when he's out doing the work of the Lord, if he can have the desires come before him and between him and God, we need to safeguard ourselves. For many, their personal lusts, they look for approval, and then they turn away from God. Desires can be an idol. Brethren, setting up idols in the heart is just as serious as setting up a physical idol to Buddha, or to Baal, or to the Ashtaroths, or you pick the god, lowercase g. An idol in the heart is just as bad. An idol, idolatry, is still one of the things that God displeases. And so when we're tempted by Satan, the greatest weapon that we have is the Word of God. Tried and true, the Word of God. Jesus says in Matthew 4, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." We need to say, "Get behind me, Satan." We don't need to let something, and I don't care what it is, we don't need to let anything come between us and God. It was a bad idea in the Old Testament, and it's a bad idea in the New Testament, and that applies to us today as well. Are you putting anything before God? I don't care what it is. Stop it. Tear down those idols, like we read about Gideon doing. Gideon's dad was an idol worshiper. He worshiped Baal. And what did Gideon do? Gideon went out and tore down the idols, and he cut down the trees where they had carved these images in. If there are idols in your life, cut them down. Get rid of them. Melt them down. Whatever analogy you want to use, maybe you just haven't obeyed the gospel. You do that through hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Sins will wash away, come out of that wandering grave, a new creature. If you've not done that this morning, why not? If you have, keep going, keep remaining faithful in death, receive that crown of life, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. But if you have an idol, don't let that let you miss heaven. Don't put anything in front of God. If we can help you in any way at all in your spiritual journey this morning, please let it be known while we stand.